Explore the mystery at shrouduniversity.com.
Put emphasize on is that there is a hole here and the hole here and the missing part on that side, and those that will remember what is here on the right shoulder, it will be coming later. So if you, that's good, and we can start with the...
I can go to your presentation.
And while Barry is opening my presentation...
Which one do you want?
That's Ohio.
Oh, okay. I didn't know which one. Give me 1 minute here. In 1 minute it will load up and you'll be in business. Okay, and there you go.
Okay.
Forward, backward.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. It'll jump by itself.
It will be 1 month from now when it will become 13 years since Alan and Mary entered to my house in Jerusalem, asking me if I am ready to see photographs of the Shroud of Turin. And in fact, I could call it in the Jewish tradition that this conference is the bar mitzvah of my involvement. and I'll try to fulfill what youngsters are doing in this age, to do something good. And so I want first to thank much Alan and Mary for the initiative. They brought me to a world that I didn't know existing. Although some 10 years earlier, Paul Meloni wrote me in the time, you know, do you remember that we were using stamps and envelopes and things like that? So it was a long time between the letters that Paul was sending me, asking me if I'm ready to identify the pollen grains that Max Frei was collecting on the shroud. And I didn't know what is the shroud, and I didn't know what to do. Suggested that if he brings me the results of a pollenologist, an expert to pollen analysis, who is acquainted with the pollen of Israel and the surrounding, then I'm ready to say what the plants are saying in their existence. It failed, and then in 95, September, Alan and Mary came, and I saw the shroud, I saw the photographs, but I didn't realize what my role can be. Then I collected the pollen grains of the plants that Alan and Mary identified in the last 4 years, or between 83 and 87, and they were ready to receive them. We went to visit friends in California. So on the way, my wife agreed to break to 48 hours from the planned family trip, and we went to Alan and Mary. And while Mary and my wife were preparing the Friday dinner, I suddenly saw on the one-to-one photographs that Alan has from Henriette, beautiful photographs. I saw some leaves of a plant, you'll see, Zygophyllum. I said, did you see these leaves? And they didn't. So I felt that I'm starting to be involved. And Then during the next years in the meeting with the Wang girls, this home was a very beautiful place to meet and learn about the shroud. Alan Adler was visiting from time to time, and with his relaxed and silent way of explaining, he filled up. It was a wonderful time. He was, we were breakfasting, and he was explaining over the egg, fried egg, and we both like to eat, and we both like to enjoy things. So I got a lot of information from the two Allens, and later I presented. We prepared a little booklet. You have seen the floor of the Shroud of Turin, and brought the finding of the plants to the knowledge of the international media through participation in the Botanical Congress in St. Louis, Missouri. Professor Peter Raven, the head of the Missouri Botanical Garden, was helping us a lot. And in a lecture to the public, I think we were, Mark, I think we have been some 200 or 300 people in that hall when the material was transferred to the people. And it began to make good waves, and it was still in the time before the carbon-14 dating was thrown to its right place. I think what made me very anxious to proceed with my research was that the Englishman was saying that those who believe that the shroud is authentic should belong to the club of the flat earth. And that was very English and very you see, I think now that when I was hearing in the position of the Six-Day War in the mountains near Sinai, I heard the Arabic, the Egyptian radio saying, be ready, Jews, we are going to throw you to the sea. And that was very helping us to fight back. So it came to me now, and I don't use the paper to read the lecture, so I give you my personal feelings. And so after writing the book, and nothing new came, and I left the story. I was participating in Dallas 2001, and I was thinking that this is it. I brought what I could, and this is it. And then when we were passing at the beginning of 2007 in Raleigh, Durham, Alan and Mary and the others were arranging my visit for 3-4 days. I think I gave some 4 lectures, and the audience was from 4 people of a special club of the university to some 40, and with the 40 we were seeing the holograms. When I saw the holograms, I said to myself, this is it. I'll not continue to rest. And then I started to correspond with Peter Sons, and he was, we were enlightening one each other, and they came to Jerusalem, he presented his lecture. In fact, we were speaking for about 1 hour, and we understood that this is it. I mean, we were chosen to be together. And then he said, these missing parts in the head, my computer person wants to understand what is going on, and we met in November at, with the arrangement of the people from North Carolina. Alan and Tom DeMahala were organizing, and we have seen a lot of material. In March I had the material arriving by the mail, by email, and could work further on. And I forgot to say that in the middle of the time, the church, I mean the Legionnaires of Christ, led by Padre Guerra, Hector Guerra, who had a very good assistant, Dr. Ferret, Martine Ferret. She is fantastic. She read all the things you guys have written. Contrary to journalists who don't have time to read and they ask us what is the shroud, and we have to explain to them from pre-alphabet. And she was reading everything, and she prepared a beautiful permanent exhibition in the Notre Dame de Jerusalem, thinking that there should be such an institute 500 meters from the place of crucifixion or burial. And then it worked out, we gave the lecture, and a conference of several lecturers, Bruno Barberis came from Turin, and then we opened another exhibition in Rome, and I was writing to myself to thank all these people, and I'm telling you the whole story. So I think now that I thank Peter Sons, who brought me back to from the dormancy to work again on the shroud, and to his devoted sponsors, Michel Sons, his brother, and Tony, their friend. They are helping us a lot and making us not bothering with the small financial things like flying from here to there, and they are making us concentrating in our research. So I'll start. Which button you put for eight? Barry. Which button you put here for?
What do you want to do? You want the lights?
Yes. Okay. It's good that you came because I was going to push there.
Hold on a second. Wait a minute. Ah.
Now, if you have time, could you return and shut it down, please? No, I want the light off.
Oh, that's as far. I thought you wanted them down.
There was a story about an Israeli minister who didn't speak enough English, and he bought an oven, and he went to cook a chicken. And chicken in Hebrew is off. And he said, and he was pushing the button for off.
Chicken.
And it didn't work.
This is as dark as I can.
This is the Hebrew that we are sharing.
Yeah.
And in such a case, we say Toda Rabba. The image is seen as other people were already showing. The dark organic compounds on the microfibrils of the cellulose, concentration of these compounds make the image. In our first part of the presentation, on in this first chapter of my research, the chrysanthemum is the most common or important example I bring for displaying the images. Here you can see the inflorescence, what you call flower, is a group of flowers. It's the sunflower family, and this is similar to that. And the center of the inflorescence is that. And this is an image created by Oswald Schoemann. Alan mentioned him, but I'll go a little bit more into that because I take the work of Schoemann as the experimental basis for my work. When I saw the images that Schoemann was producing by coronal discharge, and this is one of them, I understood that what I see on the shroud is not a fake, it's not how this man from Australia was saying, clouds in the sky, images in the sky, Ian Wilson, who has problems in observation, said that Alan and me are seeing clouds, images like clouds in the sky, because he and his wife didn't succeed to see the images when they visited Alan. So the images are wrong. And when I visited Alan one of the times, I couldn't sleep well. I was very excited to see, and I went to the cellar, and with a beautiful photograph that you see there, I was sitting for 2 hours, and this is the chrysanthemum site. This is the site where there is Cistus graticus, and there are other flowers. These are the flowers that Peter was referring to when he mentioned it earlier. We'll return to that. We made a map of the findings. This is the chrysanthemum. This is a place where Sisyphus was found. Here is Zygophyllum, the shoulder, the right shoulder. It's a different direction. But the Gundelia you will see is here, and there are many others. Gundelia is the most important component, or the first important component of the plant images we see. And it's a thistle, it's a special case in the family, and this is the inflorescence ready for seed dispersal, and the image of the Gundelia on the shroud is this image. And you can see that the long thorns are here, and maybe this one, and there is a concentration, high concentration of dark. It's a negative, so it is dark dots. The white is black. So we have to understand the meaning of the images, and this is the work of Schoemann. We've already seen the chrysanthemum. This is a leaf of a rose. As Professor Fanti showed us, the leaf was loaded on a plasma ball with electricity attached to the photographic paper, and the electrons were escaping from the margin of the leaf. So if there is an organ that is like a leaf, then one of the possibilities of seeing it is that the center is white and the margin is black, like the petals of the chrysanthemum. Then a fruit, looks like this is this plant is berberis. The berberis is a spiny plant, and the fruit is full. It's a juicy fruit, so it gives this image. It was important while observing some fruits on the shroud to have it. And the important thing, and I was holding this story from Rex Morgan since I saw him, because in 2001, we came to, my wife and I, we came to visit the Morgans, and I had a very royal audience of Rex and his family. We were four, if we count also your grandchildren, and I was showing them the slides, and there it was, you know, when we were talking with the public telephone, and the moment that the coin goes to the boot, to the box, that was the place where the coin went into the box, because I understood in your home that the spines are making these balls. It was very important to me, because now I know that the Gundelia is not just a story, it's not just imagination. The spines are making all the electrons to escape from one point, and it is like the lightning captures at the top of the churches, but it's instead these are representing the rays of electrons that are coming out of the spines. So when this is berberis in South America, and it is a spiny, nice plant. And in 2000, in March, when we have been in Torino, near the shroud, that's my finger holding itself from touching the shroud. And this is the Gundelia. So when I saw, now, I thought that in this moment I will recall the lecture on images and image processing. My dear friend Barry, I think you remember that you asked me to leave these images because this is not imaging, you said. I'm sorry. It was something, there was some argument between me and Barry, and he tried to convince me that we should do more research. But Alan Adler, on the other hand, told me, if you saw the object in two different photographs, and the laboratory of Secundo Pia, and the laboratory of Henriet, and the laboratory of the Sterp group, and the plant itself, I mean the shroud itself, showed the same image in the same place, it is a meaning that the image is true. Different methods were perpetuating or showing the plant. So, we go now to the Gundelia turneforti image on Vernon Miller's UV photograph, and you can see this is the place that you have seen before, and if I mark it with the overlay and the pen, then this is it, and the big circles are the little balls of electrons that I discovered in myself at your home. So thank you for your hospitality and the time we had with you. And then we go to Zygophyllum dumosum. This is the plant that when I saw it at the Wangers, from that moment on, I couldn't stand near anybody more than 5 minutes before I began to tell him about my finding. It was incredible. On the aeroplane, on the waiting, and there was somebody, there was a, I couldn't. And then I came to my students at the university, and we were gathering 10 minutes before the lecture. I came and stood like that, and a few students were there. So I told them about, 5 minutes long, I told them about my findings. And then one of them said, hey, Avina, why do you, we are friends. He's a son of my friend. And he said, why do you do it fragmentary? Make a lecture. Then I made the lecture, and one of the people who was intending to come was the head of the CBS office in Tel Aviv, and they couldn't make it. So they came on, they asked me if I can go with them to the Dead Sea. They want to make a section to broadcast it from coast to coast. And it was Bob Simon who was my interviewer, and I showed them the Zigofilum, and they were broadcasting it on Friday evening, and on Saturday morning there was the fire of the in the cathedral in 97, I think. And there were some nice people who asked me if it is if we are involved and trying to make publicized our research. Zigofilum is having a petiole, two leaflets, and this is another leaf of Zigofilum. The site, as you will see in the next photograph, the site is what Alan and Mary were finding, the flower, and marking it, but they didn't see this leaf and this leaf. Now, Zigofilum is a genus with several species, but it is only Zigofilum dumosum that has the leaflets falling after the first winter. And then this is a leaf from the previous year, this is a leaf from this year, and that's the petiole. This is again a leaf from the previous year. So finding both of them on the image made it clear that this is Zigofilum dumosum. Now, this is the leaflets drying out, and the new leaflet, a new leaf comes out. The Dead Sea, where the plant grows, and the distribution area on Earth of Zigofilum is here. So, if all the good guys of the National Geographical magazine are saying that it was Leonardo da Vinci who made the shroud, beautiful as it is, he had to bring Zigofilum dumosum from here to Milano or to Rome, wherever he was. And he had to bring Gundelia from here because Gundelia grows only in Asia, Turkey, and you know the map, and Zigofilum is here, and the meeting zone is about here. So, I'm sorry, I was pushing wrong. Where should I? Okay. So we needed another plant to help us, and this is Cistus creticus, and the distribution map of Cistus creticus is only west of Jerusalem and towards Ramallah. It doesn't grow in the other side of the Dead Sea. And the meaning of these three plants is that the only place on earth where people could put on a body of a dead man these plants that are not wilted, these three plants, is between Jerusalem and Hebron. It is the forensic indicator for the geography of the shroud. The shroud comes from here. There is no way that they can tell us that the shroud is a forgery from Europe. Then, additional plants, these three, with additional plants, make with their blooming time from December to April and etc. The common blooming months are March, April. Something happened in these months. And you could use the glasses you have seen it before. Peter came with his findings and asking the questions about these three locations. This is a single a shot from the movie you have seen before. And you can see the Gundelia here. And the photographs I received by electronic mail from Peter and Tom de Mahala, they organized it, I saw it, and I found that there are more flowers in those areas of missing information, and also here, and I think in the other photo, maybe some of you can see in this area the flowers I was drawing. These flowers can be seen here. To be on the safe side, I showed this woman, remind me of your name, please.
Michelle.
Michelle? She saw the flowers. Is it true?
Well,
a month ago, I gave it in Barcelona, and I went with the photograph to a woman that identified herself as a botanist, and I asked her, "Do you see the flowers?" She said, "I don't know." And I asked her, "Do you think you remember how you were drawing flowers when you was a child?" She said, "Yes." So show me where is something like that? And she showed me these flowers. So I brought, you'll be able to see it later yourself. But I think all of you have seen the chrysanthemum. I'm taking of the time I don't have. So I tried to search for a possible plant to put in place of the images drawn. And it's an attempt. I took, there are two groups that could show this image. One is a genus named Anthemis that contains about 20 species, and it is very difficult to determine. And chamomile is, or Matricaria ricotita, is the other one, and the important thing is that you see each inflorescence have a stalk, and here I couldn't put the heads, the flowering heads, the way I did, and or they couldn't be drawn like that unless somebody was cutting the stalks. So it is not just throwing flowers to cover it. It was, things were put in order. So when we come to the chapter, I don't, but when you come to the chapter of faith, it is another point for thinking of the preparation of the man for burial. And for many years, I didn't agree so well with what Alan Wanger was saying, that the Gundelia is part of the crown of thorn. But when I saw his quasi three-dimensional photograph, and you can see that from here goes a line to about here, and from here there is another line to about here, there is another line going here, and that's the model that Alan and Mary were preparing from the Gundelia in Flora Palestina, showing one of the two crowns of thorns. And at a certain time, and I think you have a reprint there of CSST newsletter, at a certain time I thought the thorns are also plants, so I'll better take a look at them. And already in 1999 we showed that at the back of the head there was Sisyphus Spina Christi. And, but now there was a very interesting event. Alan was helping a professor at Delaware to produce an exhibition, and I sent him thorns of Rhamnus Ritsirides, which is mentioned in... I finished my time? Oh, long ago. So I'm running. Alan was writing me, I'm surprised, the thorns you have sent me are explaining to me what are these images that I couldn't determine. And this is the stem I was sending him with a pair, or with several thorns, and the thorns are fortified or are typified by little bumps. And these little bumps are the lateral buds. And this plant is very cruel thing to put on the head of a person, because the trunk of these shrubs are used for making plows. It's like an iron. And they were making, the old times, they were making mortars with the trunk of Rhamnus. That's the way the plant looks in winter, that's the way the plant looks in summer, good fruits. And we mentioned that to the professor at Delaware, because Fleury in 1870 observed that in the different churches in Europe, this is representing Pisa, there is from Rome, there are two types of spines, one that resemble Sisyphus Spina Christi, as you will see it soon, and the other one resembling the Rhamnus Ritsirides. So Sisyphus looks like that, and the spines are pairs of one straight and one hooked, and maybe I have, no, so this is what I saw on the back of the head, and this is the model of the crown of thorn that Fleury was making, and in the exhibition of the Legionnaires of Christ, we have this crown of thorn, the model, and the component of the model are Sisyphus Spina Christi and Rhamnus Ritsirides, but when you look at the hair band here, which is made from hay of barley or wheat, this is exactly the what is seen in Notre Dame de Paris. Alan and Mary have been there and saw it, and they found also an image of half of this band on the Shroud of Turin. So, we are closer. And there is a mention in the scriptures of a reed in two places. One, that the scepter given to the to Jesus of Nazareth as a scepter, a mocking scepter, or in another one it is mentioned as that he wanted to die and asked a person to give him a sponge with vinegar, and he gave him a sponge and vinegar on reed, kane in Hebrew. And here you can see that's the node on the plant, that's the remnant of the leaf, that's the reed, the stem, and that's the node, and this is the remnant of the leaf. So that's the reed, and I thought I discussed it with Ken Stevenson. I discussed it, and I thought that my gift for you, as my bar mitzvah of research on the shroud, is that I think that my findings are bringing us closest to say that the shroud is the burial cloth of Jesus of Nazareth. Because we have geographical indicators saying that it comes from Jerusalem. It is the images, the plant images are fortified by experimental work with colonial discharge. The flowering time is March-April, and the flowers are covering the head in the what we have said before. The time, I mean, the carbon 14 dating, I don't have time to recall that, but this is I didn't use anything from the scriptures to say that this person is the man he is, because I didn't come from any religious background. I came as a botanist, and the plants are telling me all these stories. And this is the man who is mentioned in the New Testament as the one who had the crown of thorn and a scepter, and this is my bar mitzvah gift. And there is something I have to show you, not the resurrection plant and not the pistachio, and I have to show you that. You see, there is an image of a rope, and I happen to, my professor was used to say, I happen to have my piano in my pocket. Would you like to be my son? So I happen to have a rope in my pocket, and I think you'll see that the shadow of the rope, when I open it, is making something like an eight. And there are several eights in a chain here and here. So when, or another view of the rope, and the ropes are an ancient finding in our country. These are from a cave 9,000 years ago. The rope is the same method I did it. And this is the all the marks of the rope sum up to 10 meters. So I think that in the future you should refer to the rope that was used to bound the man to the cross, because the nails themselves couldn't do it. So the rope is made from the plant with fibers, and splitted and twisted and made. And this is what I needed, because when I opened the exhibition in Rome, the nuncius of Jerusalem, the ambassador of the Vatican in Jerusalem, the cardinal was opening the or inaugurating our exhibition. And after my lecture, where I showed the rope, I made a string to him, and he was holding the string so strong in his hand that it became white. And I asked him, how come? And he said, you see, I saw how you make it, and it is the same mode or method like the rope that was holding the man of the shroud on the cross. So I'll keep it as a souvenir from you. And I made the one for you, for each of you. And this is the time to say thank you for your for listening. My...
Explore the mystery at shrouduniversity.com.